Now let's look at the woman's story. The woman said, even though she was a Canaanite, even though she was not a Jew, and possibly she had not even met the Lord or had not met Jesus or had not had any theological training, but this woman makes the statement that, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. Lord. And the Lord she used, the Greek word there is kurios, and is the same word that is used as Jesus is made Lord. And so even though this woman was not a believer, yet somehow by revelation he had understood that the man she was dealing with is Lord, is master, has control, has dominion, has power, has authority, and is able to do what he says he will do. So when she saw Jesus as Lord, Jesus couldn't help but to meet her at the point of her need. Your appreciation of the Lordship of Christ, and this is what marks out Christians from all others. All others find it difficult to accept the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And until you are consumed by your conviction that Jesus is Lord and are prepared to live by it, you will not experience the goodness that faith brings. So this woman, even though an unbeliever, saw by revelation or by instinct or by whatever, she saw that Jesus indeed is Lord. So she saw the Lordship of Jesus. And not just the Lordship of Jesus, she also saw the humanity of Jesus. She said, Lord, son of David. What a revelation. Your capacity to understand that Jesus is Lord and also human said that he feels what we feel. He understands our pain. When we're going through trouble, when we're going through pain, he understands it. He knows what we're going through. Your capacity to appreciate that to a very large extent will make all the difference. And when you understand who Jesus is, your story changes. And sometimes I hear arguments about Jesus' name. When it comes to water baptism, for instance, Jesus in Matthew said that, go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then Jesus himself says that. But when the apostles were speaking, they said that believe and be baptized in the name of Jesus. And so there's a whole argument that even the apostles said it is in the name of Jesus. Then we Pentecostals also say, but Jesus himself said it was in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And when these arguments come, I realize that people have lost the debate. They don't even understand what we are talking about. When Jesus was on the earth and he was speaking, he needed to speak as one who carried the Trinity in himself. Bible says, in Christ is the fullness of the Godhead. And so when he was given instruction on baptism, he wanted to explain the point that whatever they are doing is under the authority of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So baptized in the name does not mean mentioning the name. It does not mean I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That is not the meaning of that statement. That statement in the name means under the authority. So we are immersing you under the authority of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. This is Jesus speaking. So when Jesus is speaking, he is revealing the source of his authority. Now, when he passes it on to the apostles, when they are also speaking, they have to speak under the authority of the one who sent them. So when they are speaking, they will also say that under the authority of Jesus Christ. In other words, we are doing what we are doing as commanded by Jesus. So it is not I baptize you in the name of Jesus. No, but I'm baptizing you under the authority as commanded, as directed, as authorized by Jesus Christ. So then now you want to find out, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus authorize? And once we understand these things, it is not which word you use, whether name of Father, Son, but the authority. Look, it is not just Jesus that makes the difference. Look, you can say in the name of Jesus and a demon will slap you if you are not a child of God. But you've mentioned the name Jesus. A man who was drunk, you know that story. He was seated at a beer bar drinking. He was drinking. Not that he had even finished drinking. He was still drinking. completely drunk, while still drinking, he heard that a woman was screaming and shouting that the baby had had convulsion. So this man came from the beer bar drunk, took the baby, and said that where I stay, there are some apostle people there. And when something happens, they mention the name of Jesus. So with all the fuse, with all the apetashi anointing, he took the baby in his hands and mentioned the name of Jesus 3 times. Jesus. With apetashi. Jesus. Stay with apetashi. Jesus. The 3rd time, the baby was healed. If apetashi, anointing, in faith in Christ, can heal a baby with convulsion, then those of us who are washed by the blood of the Lamb. But remember, he said that this is what they do. So he believed in that name. And I'm telling you, whether you are a Muslim, a Hindu, a pagan, whoever you are, if only you believe in the name of Jesus Christ, you shall see results. So it is about faith, about authority. And so when we are baptizing, it's not just the word we use, whether we use Jesus or whether we use Holy Ghost, Son. It's not that one. But the authority, under whose authority, under whose power, under whose command are we immersing you in water? When we understand these things, then there will be no debate. It will be what we do. Jesus Christ has the faith in Christ makes all the difference. And you see, sometimes if we would really experience divinity in our life, we need to stretch strongly. Sometimes listen to the testimonies people share. And it's amazing. About some few years ago, listen to me carefully. I want to say that faith can keep you alive if you really hear from God. And I want to share my personal life with you. About 10 years ago, I was diagnosed an abnormal high blood pressure. My blood pressure was 220 over 120 something. And then, I was okay, but all of a sudden, when I became the youth director, so I recall those days when I was going on trek, people are afraid because they knew I would just fall down and die. And so I became worried myself. I was around 130, all of a sudden, it came to 160, then went to 200, then it stayed for 220, 200 almost every year. So I was battling. Should I? When you struggle with your faith, so I gave in and I started taking the drugs or the medicine. And then it started coming down. I take medication. When I'm sick, I go to hospital. But I have a challenge when my life is going to be built on medication. So I had a problem. And I decided to cry unto God that, God, I can't continue like this. So one day, as I was walking, I got to a traffic light. Then I heard clearly, the word of the Lord came to me that if I cannot sustain you, then these drugs cannot sustain you. Somebody who is educated, who knows what these things are, became a challenge. So it was so strong, I couldn't also overrule that. Now I was torn between whether I should believe that God can sustain me or the drugs. And I was in trouble. Because if I take the drugs, it means that I am saying that God cannot sustain me, true or false. And I have been told that once you stop taking the medicine, you can even die. Something horrible will happen. And then I came on and said, God, if I'll die, let me die. So I threw the medicine away. Then I got so scared. I knew I'll be dying any moment. Then I heard stories. I was told one of my pastor friends, he was traveling. He forgot his medicine that day. And then he collapsed on the plane. Then I was told that after 3 months, somebody also stopped the medicine and he had a stroke. So I was waiting for 3 months. I was scared. Do I go back to the medicine or do I believe God? Then I told my wife, we were praying about it. We spent about 2 weeks praying about this thing. And God still says, I will sustain you. Sometimes I'll be wrestling. Then my wife will say, this is a real battle of faith. So I was waiting for the 3 months for something to happen. Then 3 months passed. Then other people would say, 6 months time, when they stop 6 months. Then I was so afraid. One day I was in the UK, and then all of a sudden I had gone for a youth conference. I was in my hotel room and I felt I was dying. I said, I was dying. I'm joking. You think I'm not joking. I was dying. So I couldn't breathe. My breath, I was in trouble. So I took phone, I wanted to call the ambulance service. Then the word came back to me and I said, hey, if I would die, let me die after all. Oh, I didn't say that. I did not say that. So I said, what, let me die. If I'm going to stick to God. Immediately I said that, the thing just disappeared like something. It disappeared. And I said, me, then I won't die. Then I went again. So from that time, anytime I go for a medical checkup, 100, 200 and something, over 120, 130, then they will tell me that, my friend, you won't even allow you to go. If not, you die on the way. I said, me, I will go. That was a real battle of life. Being a scientist, I know the risk I was taking. It's about life and death. Then 1 year came. I didn't die. Then one of my pharmacist doctors said, oh, some woman, she was also on it. She stopped. And then after 3 years, she died. So I was waiting for 3 years. To cut the story short, my blood pressure remained at that level for so long. With that medication, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 220, 130, 120. And anytime the doctors went for medical exam, they want to keep me there. I couldn't also, you know, it's Church of Pentecost. It has to go. And I was really battling with faith. Then from 220, without medication, normal people, as you grow older, your pressure goes up. Mine started coming down. Then it came to 160 over 100. Then the doctors who didn't know my history, when they saw 160 over 100, they said, hey, listen. I said, my friend, if you knew where I was, I was coming from. And then they also, then they will intimidate me. They'll put the fear of, they say you will die. My friend, don't joke. You are a pastor. You should know better. I was struggling. Sometimes my faith begins to shake. Especially anytime I went for medical examination. I stood my grounds. Later, I checked. It had come to 140 something. I said, okay, if I didn't die at 220, and I am still alive today. Of course, I'm not at that high level. But I'm saying that sometimes faith is not easy. But you have to dare such levels when you have heard from the master. When you have heard from the master, even when you hear, you need to still work on it. If not, you will take a dangerous step and die. And I'm telling you that the doctors who gave me examples of pastors who have died were not joking. But the difference is that I had heard from God. And over 10 years, now it has not come to 120, but at least it's manageable. And if I didn't die at 220, honestly, if I die now, I know it's not it, because even when I was supposed to die, I didn't die. What am I trying to communicate? That when God speaks, he will sustain you. I wanted God to heal me, but he did not say, I will heal you. He said, I will sustain you. And so whatever word comes concerning your life, please, I'm not asking you to go and throw your medication away. I told you I took medication until God speaks. I pray that God will speak into your situation. God will speak into your circumstance so that you would experience God's power at work. And I told you the story of my own wife. She was also diagnosed with ovarian cyst. And the doctor said that is risky. And that if it bursts, she will die. And then again, please, this one is our testimony. We went to South Africa, and then all her medical records showed that the cyst was there. We prayed about it. She felt strongly. God said God is going to heal her. Then we prayed and prayed and prayed. And one day, this woman started screaming horribly. Then she started bleeding. The very things the doctor said when happens will die has started happening. So we were now confused. Do we go? We prayed. Then one, as she bled in pain profusely, I called one of a South African doctor and said, you are resting with your wife. You will lose her right away. And I couldn't tell her. And I said, God. You know what? At a point, we said, now we can go to the hospital. When she went and they examined her, the cyst had ruptured and disappeared. And since today, no cyst. She's been free from that power. I'm saying that faith is still real. Faith still works. It is time for us to stop this unbelief and trust God and pray and seek the face of God for God to speak and not just follow people and not just say, because this person did it, I would also do it. And you create problems for yourself. Faith comes when God has spoken into your situation. May God speak into your situation. May God bring you up and bring you to a point where God's will for your life will come to pass. I'm saying that sometimes when God inspires you to do certain things, then you're able to tap from the realms of the spirit to affect your body. I shared a story with you of what Apostle Nate said, and I believe this one too you remember. When they preached about God's word, that if you believe, you will trample upon serpents and scorpions and all the powers of the enemy. And then this new convert hears this message. Raw word of God. Takes the word of God by faith. Went to the farm and saw a very poisonous cobra. Is it cobra or whatever? Poisonous one. Then lifted the head and the man said, my friend, the pastor said, we walk upon serpents and scorpions and all those things. And so I'll catch you. Then he went to catch the snake. Then the snake lifted the head. He said, Uma utiso, uma utiso, so for say. Mecho. And then this guy attempted to catch the snake. And then the snake beat him. He said, oh, cameo. One cameo, so for say. Mecho. And then he caught the snake. The snake beat him severally. Now, Pastor Nate recounts the story that they were in a pastor's meeting when the man brought the snake to the church, to the pastor's meeting. And then whilst they were there, they saw the man coming with the snake. Then they said, ah! Now, when so I said, so for see a bit, I was like, hey! Even we, the pastors, had a challenge. But this man who took, and they watched him, nothing had happened. I'm saying that, yes, we have to be careful. Yes, don't be unwise. But I'm also making the point that faith still works in our time. And when God inspires and stirs your spirit, take a step of faith. And if you would take the step of faith under divine instruction, God will not fail you. May God extend your territory and open you up to see real faith at work. We, at a point, went for a church service. And then the preacher preached like this and inspired us to give. Young, dynamic, fiery church member. The man preached, I decided to go to my room and take all my money. I took all my money in my bank account. I took every money I had, including coins, that day, and I came to give the money out for an offering. I didn't even have money to move from my home to the office the following day. I was a lecturer. And that was, humanly speaking, a very childish decision to take all your money and send to church. How was I going to eat? How was I going to take care of my newly wedded wife? She was in school. So when she calls me, I'll pretend as if I'm in the spirit. And I was broke. 1 week, 2 weeks, somehow I managed to survive. Then I said, God, you inspired me to do this. Do something extraordinary. So I saw an elder's car that he was selling. I said, elder, okay, metal. And then I said, give it to me. I'll bring you the money in 2 weeks. Faith sees things which are not as though they are. And he calls it into being. So I said, 2 weeks, elder, I'll bring you your money. Then 2 weeks came, no money. So I went back to the elder and I said, give me 1 more week. I'll bring you your money. Just there and then, one of my pastor friend, Apostle Esu Apia, came from Japan or so. I don't know whether he or the wife, one of them. And then, because we were friends, you know, because we are friends, you see, he didn't know the pledge. He didn't know how much involved. Those days, whether $900 or nine something, I remember very well. So just within that 1 week that I had pledged the elder, I'll bring the money, this my friend came and then gave me exactly, he didn't even add $10 more, exactly what I wanted. So he brought the money and quickly I went to give elder. And from a she, I became a car owner. And the money I had with me, which I'm shouting like I went to take all my money in the, if I tell you how much, all that so-called money in the house, all the money, I was making noise that I went to bring all the money that I had. And you see the seriousness with it, I said it. If I tell you how much all that money was, but whatever it was, that was all my money, including the coins. Including the coins. It could not even buy a bicycle tire. But I gave it all. I gave it all. Trusting God. Faith sees things which are not as though they are and calls them into being. Now I had my car. Then I was a presiding elder. Then one Muslim convert also came into the church. And then he said, elder, I have an Opel Omega. I'm giving it to you whenever you have time, pay. I said, okay. Then I took it. So within a month or so, I had two cars. An Opel Omega and the Hyundai Grace. You know those days, Hyundai Grace 2 was champion. Then I was called into the ministry. So when I was going to the ministry, I was driving my own Opel Omega out of shape. May God of surprises. May God, who is able to cause things which are not as though they are, and able to turn people's destinies around, change your story. I've given you examples of healing. I've given you examples of doing extraordinary things. I've given you physical examples to let you know that God is able to do everything exceedingly abundantly beyond what you can ask or imagine. And I have come to understand that life is not about money. Money is not everything. When God decides to bless you, He will bless you. And He knows how to cause the raven to come and feed you. When God says He will bless you, He knows where to bring your raven. God can even raise one person to be your pillar of support. And so do not allow people to use their money to influence your life, to make you take decisions you do not want to take. When your time of visitation comes, when your moment of visitation comes, your money is only supposed to be a tool for your own blessings. God is taking it to bless you. But thank God, PRWC, you are not like that. But I'm speaking on Facebook, I'm speaking on social media, I'm speaking all over. And those people who think that money is everything and want to influence, hold your peace. Because our God is able to bless us. And yesterday, Apostle said that Ezra said, I was ashamed to go to the king because I had boasted unto the Lord. Church, I want to say that you do not need to fight for money. You do not need to sell your integrity because of money. If it is white, say it is white. And sleep with no food. One day, your master will visit you. One day, your master will visit you. I have tasted and trusted and tried it. And I know God's promise is true. I'm saying that when God says, He will bless you. And as we bring these deep things to a close, I pray that the kind of things that hold our faith back, that do not allow us to experience God's power, let God revisit His church with faith. And may we be capable of doing extraordinary things where you go for an interview and instead of selling your dignity, you go with God. You sit at the panel, the man looks at you. He looks at you, he asks you, how do we do HR? You may not be the best of HR consultants, but after that, He will say, see me tomorrow. Because the hand of the Lord is upon your life. It is only there and there you can come and stand here and say, this is the doing of the Lord. Not when you have sold your dignity. Not when you have done something you are not proud of. Not when you have gone in with all kinds of fake deals and killing people with drugs. And then you come and you want the whole world to say hallelujah. But thank God for PRWC. Thank God for, look, let me make it very clear. God will bless you. God will enlarge your coast. God will enlarge your territory. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. And that is what faith does. What I'm saying is that even if unbelievers were able to access God's goodness, how much more those of us who have been washed by the blood. And I'm going to quickly read these things, make them declarations over your life, and we would conclude. If we would believe God, like David, we can say the Lord is my shepherd. And so we shall not want. May the Lord be your shepherd. When difficult moments come, may God be your shepherd. He will lead us to lie down in green pastures. May your pasture become green. And when others do not understand how, your colleagues will not understand how, you will say that this is the doing of Yahweh. He will lead you beside still waters. He will restore your soul. Even if you are falling, even if you have done something wrong, the spirit of restoration is available. Get up, rise up, and say that I am restored. And don't allow your fallen nature to crush you. Yes. Maybe you sold your dignity. And so what? It has already happened. God wants to restore us. We can have a new leaf and say, not again. God will restore our soul. He will lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your staff and your rod, they will comfort me. When difficult moments come, Jesus will be our comfort. May the Holy Spirit become our comfort. The Bible says that he will prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. That is why I keep telling you that don't be worried about your enemies. Because when you have more enemies, it means that God needs to broaden your table so that all of them will come around it. May the Lord prepare a table before you as they try to push you down. May the Lord lift your table higher. And when there are enemies up there, it means that your table needs to go higher so that they will fit up there. When there are low, it means that God needs to bring the table wider. Today, may the Lord prepare a table before you. In the presence of the very people who want to destroy you. The very people who wanted you to say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, madam, madam, will come back and salute you and say, yes, sir, yes, madam, because the Lord has prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. In fact, he will cause you to have oil running over. And it will come to pass that the joy of the Lord, I pray that a time will come in this church where people will run to church, people will run to the presence of God because some goodness is begun happening in their lives. May the Lord give you surprises. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, and indeed, 1,000 will fall by your side, and 10,000 by your right hand, and it shall not come near thee. And from the Lord will protect you from noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid by the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. This is your portion in Jesus' name. No arrow that flies by day or by noon or by night will be able to come near the tabernacle. Those of you listening to me, I'm saying that if you maintain your integrity, the Lord will fight for you. No noisome pestilence, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Indeed, I've already said it, 1,000 will fall by your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near thee. The fact that it came near your father, the fact that it came near your mother, the fact that it came near your brother, the fact that it came near your elder, the fact that it came near your pastor, the fact that it came near somebody does not mean it will come near you, because you carry a different appointment with God. Wow, only with thine eyes shall you see the reward of the wicked. Church, may the wicked be rewarded before you. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling place. He shall give his angels charge over you. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you all your ways. In his hands he will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon lion and the cobra, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I speak under authority that because you are a son, because you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, the Lord will deliver you. If your deliverance has not come, it is not because he will not deliver you, but it is because he's waiting for your table to be bigger. And at the appropriate time, the Lord shall deliver you. These are the benefits of the children of the Lord. He shall call upon me and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy and show my son my salvation. These are the benefits, the inheritance of the righteous. May this be your portion in Jesus' name. May the Lord open the floodgates of revival upon this church. May your tabernacle be increased. And church, I pray that today shall be your landmark testimony day. At this Eagles camp, even though the room is hot, may God give you that testimony you have been waiting for. As we conclude these deep things of God, and as we talk about the power of faith to change lives and testimonies and destinies, as we enter into a time of prayer, somebody's story is about to change. Somebody's destiny is about to change. Certain impossibilities are becoming possible. Certain doctor's report concerning your life shall be canceled, and you shall receive a new report. When you go and do a medical test, you shall receive a new report. Those who don't want to look at your face will begin to look at your face. These are the inheritance of the people of God. Church, are we ready to pray? Are we ready to pull down the heavens? Are we ready to receive a testimony we've been longing for? You know what? I want you to trust God. I want you to hear God. I'm not asking you to make an unwise decision, but I'm submitting to the house that when God speaks, he will confirm his word. I'm ministering to the house that we are serving a God of possibilities, a God who is able to change people's story and destinies. And that is the God we want to cry to. What is it you are believing God for? What is it that your faith couldn't carry? Help will come from above. Help will come from the Lord.